भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराशि भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 6 एंटाइटल्ड द यादव डायनेस्टी रिटायर्स टू प्रभाष टेक्स्ट 10 स्यानस्तवांग्रिमशुभस्य धूमकेतुः तवांग्रिरशुभस्य धूमकेतुः क्षेमाय यो मुनिभिरार्द्रहृदयो यमानः यः सात्वतैः संविभूताय आत्मसवधि व्यूहे अर्चितः सवनशः स्वर अतिक्रमाय स्यान्नस्तवांग्रिमशुभस्य धूमकेतुः शुभस्य धूम क्षेमाय यो मुनिभिरार्द्रहृदयो यमानः यः सात्वतैः समविभूताय आत्मवद्भिर् व्यूहे अर्चितः सवनस्य स्वरातिक्रमाय स्यान्नस्तवांग्रिमशुभस्य धूमकेतुः क्षेमाय यो मुनिभिरार्द्रहृदयो यमानः यः सात्वतैः संविभूतय आत्मवद्भिर् व्यूहे अर्चितः सवनशः स्वरात् अतिक्रमाय Vaishnavis. Word for word translation, Syat, may they be, Naha, for us, Tava, your, Angri, the lotus feet, Ashubha, Ashaya, of our inauspicious mentality. Dhumaketu, the annihilating fire. Shemaya, for achieving real benefit. Yaha, which. Unibhi, by sages. Ardraruda, with melted hearts. Uhyamanaha, are being carried. Yaha, which. Sattvatai, by the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samvibhutaye, for gaining opulence like his. Atmavadbhi, by those who are self-controlled. Vyuhe, in the four-handed personal expansions of Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Architaha, worshipped. Savanashaha, at the three junctions of each day. Soha Atikramaya, for crossing beyond the heavenly planets of this world. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Translation: great sages, desiring the highest benefit in life, always cherish your lotus feet within their hearts, which are melted by love for you. Similarly, your self-controlled devotees, desiring to cross beyond the material kingdom of heaven to achieve opulence equal to yours, worship your lotus feet in the morning, at noon and in the evening. Thus they meditate upon your lordship in your quadruple expansion. Your lotus feet are just like blazing fire that burns to ashes all the inauspicious desires for material sense gratification. Purport: the conditioned living entity can purify his existence simply by having firm faith in the transcendental glories of the Personality of Godhead. What then can be said of the extraordinary good fortune of the demigods who were directly seeing Lord Krishna's lotus feet? Although we are presently afflicted by innumerable material desires, these desires are temporary. The eternal living entity is meant to experience a loving relationship with the supreme living entity, the Personality of Godhead. And by rendering pure devotional service to the Lord, the heart of the living entity is completely satisfied. The word Dhumaketu in this verse indicates a flaming comet of fire, which represents Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the master of the mode of ignorance, and Lord Krishna's lotus feet are compared to the comet, a symbol of the potency of Lord Shiva, which can destroy all ignorance within the heart. The word Samvibhutaye, for achieving equal opulence, indicates that the pure devotees go back home, back to Godhead, and enjoy the infinite bliss of the spiritual world. Lord Krishna is endowed with unlimited opulent paraphernalia for enjoyment. And a liberated soul who goes to Krishna's abode is awarded all opulence for serving the Lord. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, the word Vyuhe in this verse indicates the three Purusha incarnations, namely Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, as well as Vasudev. If we can scientifically understand how Krishna expands himself to create the material world, we shall immediately experience that everything is the property of Krishna and thus become free from the desire to exploit it for our own selfish purposes. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the master of everyone, and the reservoir of all opulences. And one should remember his lotus feet in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. One who always remembers Krishna and never forgets him will experience real blissful life beyond the pale shadow of material illusion. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So today morning here, the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord and taking shelter of those lotus feet is being discussed. And here the word dhumaketu, ashubhasya dhumaketu, there's inauspiciousness in the heart which is destroyed by the lotus feet, which acts like a flaming fire. So the word dhumaketu commonly refers to a comet. Generically, if you look from Sanskrit etymologically, it refers to a ball of fire. Dhuma is fire. Ketu is basically an object which is moving very fast, a projectile of fire specifically. So now the fire metaphor comes later also in the 11th canto in the context of purification. Said that just as gold, when it is subjected to smelting through heating, at that time all the impurities go out and then the pure gold shines forth. Similarly, for the sadhakas, the process of bhakti, the process of yoga, which culminates in bhakti yoga, acts like the purifying fire, which frees us from the contaminations which adulterate our eternal spiritual nature as souls who are parts of Krishna. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about how he descends to give us his shelter, to establish dharma. In 4.7 and 8, he talks the famous verses about how dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. And then he says, I come again and again to give shelter. Then the next verse he says, what does that shelter mean? The shelter is not just establishing order in this world. The shelter is ultimately establishing order in this world to help us come out of this world. So generally in broader, the Hindu society, often 4.7 and 8 are quoted very frequently, what God has sent to this world. But Prabhupada quotes 4.9 much more frequently. 4.9 is Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha Tyaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti So Arjuna. That those who come to know about me in truth, Tatvataha, they will attain me and won't attain this world again. How does one come to know Krishna Tatvataha in truth, in a way that we take shelter of him? That is explained in the next verse. And there Krishna says, 4.10 is Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha Manmaya Mamupashritaha Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Puta Mad Bhavamagataha. So Puta means become purified. So purification, this is the metaphor which I'm connecting over here. The fire, just as it purifies the gold of the adulterants, of the contaminants, so that the gold can shine through. Similarly, it is said here, Puta, we become purified. And what is it that we need to be purified of? Vita, Raga, Bhaya and Krodha. Attachment, fear and anger. Desire, fear and anger, we could say. And by this, if we become free from these three things, then Manmaya. We'll be able to fix the mind consciousness in him. Mam Upashritaha. And take shelter of him. And in this way, bahavo jnana tapasa. Many people in the past have become purified. The word tapasya is also associated with fire. Tapa agni, it is said. Tapa is like a fire which creates power, which cleanses away the impurities. So I'll talk about these three impurities which are purified by the process of bhakti. Raga, bhaya and krodha, desire, fear and anger. Essentially, we as souls are parts of Krishna. He is the whole and we are his parts. We are meant to serve him. And the three misdirections, raga means we have desires, and based on our desires, we want to be the controllers. So the mentality to be want to be a controller is signified by desire or attachment. Inability to be the controller leads to fear. Oh, if I can't control, so many things will go wrong. What will happen? What will happen? That is fear. Now, when this inability to control is expressed inwards, or we could say is expressed in the mode of ignorance, then, or rather it's expressed in a passive way, it leads to fear. When this mode of ignorance or this inability to control is expressed in an aggressive way, that leads to krodha. So krodha is, okay, if I can't control, then I will just destroy everything. So nobody will be able to control. So now there is a lot of fear. I just came from America a few days ago. So especially in America, there's a fear that there may be an escalating nuclear war that may take place between North Korea and America. And in such a situation, they call the result will be what is called MAD. MAD is mutually assured destruction. And I destroy you and you destroy me. This is fear. And now, this fear actually is the nature of our existential condition. Why? Because at one level, we all have a need to control. Every service that we do, every responsibility that we take, every role that we take up, we have a need to control in that. If somebody becomes a parent, the parent is to control and train the child. Somebody becomes a teacher, they expect to control and train the students. Even if we are driving a bike or a car, we are expected to control. So, for us to function in the world, there is the need to control. At the same time, there is much in the world that is not in our control. So, I'm driving a car, but for me to go safely, the other people should also follow the rules. If on the other side a drunk driver is coming, and that person rams into me, I'm helpless. I'm driving a car, but if suddenly in the middle, the wheel comes off. What do I do at that time? So because we at one level have the need to control, and at the other level, we have an inability to control. This is the root cause of our fear. And fear is basically an existential predicament. It is just ingrained in the nature of existence. Srila Prabhupada, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, as it is, writes that our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. So we may be destroyed at any moment. Now, there are unavoidable fears and there are avoidable fears. So our fears increase in proportion to our desires. Why is that? Because we, for functioning in the world, we need some amount of control. But the greater the control we seek, the greater becomes the fear, what if I am not able to control? And Krishna says that, when he talks about the materialistic worldview that the ungodly have, in 16.11, he says, Chintama parimeyamcha pralayantama pashitaha kamopabhoga parama etavad iti nishchitaha. So those who have decided kama upabhoga, that worldly enjoyment is the purpose of life. Prabhupada translates there as etavad iti nishchitaha. Parama etavad iti nishchitaha. So he said parama, they said this is the, they have concluded as certain nishchitaha that this is the prime necessity of life. And the result of that is chintam aparimeyam cha pralayantam upashita chinta, anxiety, fear, worry. For how much time? He says immeasurable and interminable. Aparimeyam, we cannot count how many fears are there. And interminable, pralayantam upashita. The word pralaya can be translated as death, or it can be translated as the end of material existence, when the universe shuts down. So till that point, as long as existence is there, fear will be there. So in that sense, fear is co-eternal with existence. So these three impurities, desire, the more we desire control, then if I'm unable to control, there is fear. So as I talk about the avoidable and unavoidable fears. If somebody is very attached to, say, cricket, and then they want their favorite team to win the cricket match, that is their desire. And if that team doesn't win, or is on the verge of losing, then that leads to either fear or anger. So if the fear goes inwards, then people become paranoid. People get, when a few years ago Sri Lanka lost the World Cup final against India, maybe nearly a decade ago. At that time, there are a number of people in Sri Lanka who committed suicide. Just because their team lost the finals. So here what has happened? That desire is so strong, and when the desire is not fulfilled, people will, what is the point of my living? The fear becomes so much, how can I live? Just end their life. More commonly, people express when the frustration of desire, actually the possibility that my desire may not be fulfilled, that causes fear. When it becomes clear my desire is not going to be fulfilled, that comes out as anger. Suicide is actually not just an expression of frustration. It is an expression of frustrated anger directed towards oneself. More often, people direct their frustrated anger outwards. So people may destroy their television. Or if a particular player has played very badly, they may burn the effigies of that player. So this is simply the flip side of the intense investment of consciousness that has happened because of desire. So for us, when we are trying to practice bhakti, we chant the holy names, we hear Krishna's message, we worship the deities. The purpose of all this ultimately is to situate ourselves in the understanding that I am a servant of Krishna. Jiva Krishna Das, E Vishwas, Korle Tvara Dukkha Nahi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you just get a conviction that I am a servant of Krishna, then there will be no distress. Now, no distress does not mean that old age will not be there, disease will not be there, death will not be there, or the Trivida Tap will not be there. It means that the distress that is avoidable in this world will not be there. As devotees also, when we take up some responsibility, to some extent, that means we are taking up the role of being a controller. If we are, say, managing a particular service, a particular department, now our philosophy is we are not controllers. But when we have big festivals, one important department is crowd control. So we have to be controllers, isn't it? So actually, we may take up the role of being a controller, but if we have a fundamental identity and we have a functional identity. A fundamental identity is that I am a servant of Krishna. From a functional perspective, okay, I may be a teacher, I may be a manager, I may be a commander, I may be a controller in various ways. So to the extent, the whole process of bhakti is actually a process of moving from the functional identity to the fundamental identity. Now for moving from the functional identity is, okay, I am a man, I am an Indian, I am this, I am that. These are functional identities. And the functional identities are not to be rejected. But they are to be connected with our pursuit for realizing our fundamental identity. So Arjuna is told by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, you are not the body, you are the soul. इन देहिनोस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारम यवनम जरा तथा देहांतर प्राप्ति धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यते. सेज दैट यू नॉट द बॉडी. एंड येट इन द नेक्स्ट वर्स कृष्णा रेफर्स टू अर्जुना विथ टू डेजिग्नेशन दैट आर रिलेटेड विद द बॉडी. सेज मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्ण सुख दुखदाह आगमापायिनो नित्यस्ताम सितिक्षस्व भारत. So if you are not the body, then how are you the son of Kunti? How are you the descendant of the Bharata dynasty? No, the fact is that the functional identity is not to be rejected. The functional identity is meant to be used to realize the fundamental identity. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that yes, you know, to act at the level of the soul is difficult. Because at the bodily level, pleasure and pain will come. So when these come, tolerate it. But tolerance is difficult. He says, yes, but you can do it because you are the son of a great woman. You are the descendant of a great dynasty. So use the functional identity to pursue the fundamental identity. So if we are controllers, if we have a particular service, in that service, we may have to control. Now we use that service, we try to exert that control. But our purpose is not to identify ourselves as controllers. Our purpose is to realize ourselves as servants. About 20, 25 years ago, when I first started giving classes, one senior devotee gave me a series of guidelines of how to speak in public. And the last guideline was, depend on Krishna. But in bracket, but only after you have prepared. Depend on Krishna, but only after you have prepared. If I don't prepare, and then I come for a class, I say I'm dependent on Krishna. That is not dependence. That is irresponsibility. Now when we are preparing for a class, what are we doing basically? We are actually trying to gain control of the knowledge that we have learned. Okay, I've learned this fact over here, this argument over here, this shloka over here. This example over here, this story over here. Let me bring it all together. So we are trying to gain control so that we can put it in an orderly perspective. And so if we don't gain that control, if we don't take that control, we'll not be able to do the service properly. So whether we may think of control sometimes in terms of external things or people we control. But there is internal control. Control of our thoughts, control of our thought flow, control of our attitudes. So this kind of control is required. But we are meant to use the control for serving the supreme controller. In fact, we can see this paradox again in the idea that we are told that we are not the controllers. And yet we are told that we all have to develop self-control. Now, if we are not controllers, then how can we control the self also? No, the idea is we do have control. But whatever control we have, we want self-control so that we can surrender to the control of the supreme controller. We want self-control so that we can better serve Krishna. We can surrender to the control of the supreme controller. And if we don't have self-control, we will not be able to surrender to Krishna. Yeah, so for us, self-control is like if we are driving a car. Then, at that time, if we are driving some other senior devotee, we are taking them to a particular destination where they want to go. Now, we are meant to serve. So, we want to take the car where they want us to take the car. But to take the car there, we have to be able to control the car. Now, if we can't control the car, instead of going to the destination, we will go to a ditch. So, we want control. We want control over the car so that we can serve. So like that, Krishna is present in our hearts. And he is, the body is compared to a car. Ishvara sarva bhutanam ruddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. So yantra rudhani mayaya. We are situated on the body which is like a machine. And Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, that Lord who is the controller of all living beings, he is directing our wanderings. Brahmayan. This word Brahmayan is interesting. Prabhupada translates this as directing the wanderings. If you look at the Sanskrit, Brahman means to wander. And Brahmayan means to cause to wander. So, Brahman is what I voluntarily do, wandering. Brahmayan means, so the Lord is causing the wandering of all living beings. There are many people in the West who argue that Indian thought is very fatalistic. Right? I gave a talk in Yale University when I was in America. So after that, I was talking about science, spirituality and self-improvement. And one Muslim scholar of Islamic studies had come for the program after that. And he was asking this question that, you know, Indian system, Indian thought is very fatalistic. He said, the caste system is all based on fatalism. That you are born in a particular position and that is the way you are going to live throughout your life. And there is no scope for self-improvement or social improvement within the Indian thought system. Now this is a misunderstanding. Complete misunderstanding. It's not the thought which we have in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhakti literature. It is not fatalistic. Fatalistic means, oh, actually everything is destined by God and nothing is in your control. So, the first way we can respond if somebody says everything is destined, well, then you can ask, is your asking of this question destined? You know, you use your free will to ask this question. You would have chosen not to ask this question. So, everything is not destined. Now, Brahmayan, what it actually means is interesting. So, if we take it literally, it means cause to wander. So, is Krishna causing the wandering of all living beings? Actually, it is our own desire. Purushah prakritisthohi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. The soul gets situated in material nature because of its own desire to enjoy material nature. Prakritisthohi. So when the soul is situated by its own desire, then sad asad yoni janmasu means good and bad in various species. So it's our desire which places us in material existence. So Brahmayan means that Krishna is not controlling, but he's not causing in the sense of being the primary cause. He is causing in the sense that he is the facilitator he is the media who enables us to execute our desires. When we desire to wander, he allows us to wander. And this is immediately evident if you look at the context. Because if Krishna is the supreme controller, if Krishna is the absolute controller, he is the supreme controller, but he is not the absolute controller. Absolute controller would mean that we have no free will. Everything about what we are doing is controlled. No, he is the supreme controller who has given us a particular area of control in which we exercise our free will. So that is evident from immediately the next verse. 18.62, 61 might give the idea that Krishna is causing our wandering, so we have no control. But 18.62 is, Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. So he is saying, therefore surrender to him. Tam eva sharanam gacha. Sarva bhavena bharata, wholeheartedly, with all the emotion of your heart, just surrender to him. And tat prasadat, by his mercy, param shantim, you'll get the supreme peace. And sthanam prapsasi shashvatam, you'll get the eternal destination. See, the Bhagavad Gita has begun with Arjuna's conflict about what is more important. Is shanti more important or is sthana more important? Is peace more important? If he has to get peace, he can't fight the war. But if he doesn't fight the war, then he loses the territory. He can't have any kingdom to do his kshatriya dharma. But if he wants the territory, he wants the sthana, then he will lose the shanti. He will have to fight the war. But Krishna is telling Arjuna over here, if you surrender to me, you surrender to the Supreme Lord in the hearts, then you will get both shanti and sthana. The situation, this or this, that will be resolved because you will get both. How? Ultimately, by raising to spiritual consciousness. So the point which I'm making here is, in the flow of our thought is, that Krishna is telling Arjuna, you surrender. Now surrender means that you must have free will. Otherwise, how can you surrender? In fact, that becomes even more clear in the next verse. Vimrishaita dacheshena yathaichchita thakuru. Therefore, deliberate and decide what you want to do. So, do what you do. Krishna is saying, do as you desire. Do, that means do means you have some free will with which you do. So, essentially, when it is said that Krishna is causing the wandering of all living beings, going back to the earlier example of the car. So, Krishna is like the super soul sitting in the seat next to us in the car. And if we want to go to a particular destination, Krishna provides us the car. That means Krishna provides us the body. Krishna provides us the intelligence in the subtle body by which we can operate that body. And then Krishna enables us to go wherever we want. So in that sense, Krishna is the cause. Without Krishna's sanction, upadrashta anumantacha, we would not be able to go anywhere. So Krishna is causing our wandering in the sense that he is providing us the resources for wandering, if that's what we want. But then Krishna is telling, you are in this car, use it to come to me. Tameva sharanam gacha. Now to go there, we have to have some control. So going back, so the whole process of bhakti, we talked about how this fire of bhakti will free us from the impurities. So we as souls are like gold. We are parts of the all attractive supreme. We are also attractive. But we are covered over by contaminations. The contaminations are fear, desire and anger. So let's understand these three in the context of this metaphor. If I am driving a car and I meant there's somebody with me who knows a good destination to go to. But if I have my own desire, you know, I want to go somewhere else. Then although that person is present next to me, that person will not be able to take me to a good destination. So vita rag, give up your own desire. That doesn't mean there is no desire. We have desire, but we use the desire to serve the desire of the Supreme Lord. Kamam cha dasye natu kama kamya. Yeah, it is said about Ambarish Maharaj that he did not become a servant of his desires, but he made his desire his servant. That means he considered himself as a servant of the Lord, and he made his desire his servant. So, vita raga bhaya. So, if while driving, suddenly I become fearful. How will I be able to drive? There's so much traffic. This road has so many bends. This road is so slippery. What if somebody comes propelling down and rams into my car? This bhaya. Then, know that Krishna is in control. Do not be fearful. Even if bad things happen, Krishna is in control and Krishna will bring good. Even out of the bad. So if we think we are all alone in this world trying to drive a car, or trying to drive ourselves in this world, it's possible that when difficulties come, we'll become fearful. But if instead of looking at the problem, looking at the danger, if we just turn towards Krishna and try to remember him, then we will get relief. So to the extent we look at the world and think we are all alone against this big bad world, there'll be fear. But to the extent we turn our consciousness towards Krishna, to that extent we'll get relief from fear. During my recent US trip, when I was in Denver, I was flying from Denver back to Gainesville, and when I was going through the security check, at that time suddenly big alarm rang when my crutches were going through the security check. And then there's like within 10 seconds, almost like 50 security just swarmed on me. And they just surrounded me from all sides. And they said that in your crutches, we have found an explosive. Our alarm has detected the explosive. And usually, I just arrive at the airport at the last moment. So I was already a little late. And they said, you know, we have to take you to a separate chamber. And they took it, so then they took the crutches and they said, because this explosive alarm has been detected, so therefore, we will have to take you to this chamber and we'll have to have a thorough body check. So then they took me there. And then they were trying to find out what is there. So they said, we'll have to break the crutches. I said, if you break the crutches, how will I walk? He says, that is not my problem. That is your problem. So I just didn't know what to do at that time. So I was thinking, first I was annoyed, irritated that I'll miss the flight and how will I reach for, I had some program next place, how will I reach for the programs? But then they said that we'll have to break the crutches. And I started thinking, how will I move about? What will I do? So then as I was almost becoming panicky, suddenly I like to recite Gita verses. Somehow I started reciting these three verses, you know, the 18.61, 62 and 63. So just as Krishna is guiding all the wanderings of all living beings, and just surrender to Krishna. So when I just recited this verse, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarva Bhavena Bharata Tat Prasadat Param Shantim Sthanam Prapsati Shashvatam. I just suddenly experienced a peace. I started thinking that, I'm just traveling from one place to another and I'm getting so worried. But as a soul, I've traveled through so many lifetimes. And what control did I have at that time? Krishna guided me from one body to another. In this life also, so many places I have traveled. Now I'm all alone, but Krishna has guided me. If Krishna has brought me this far, He will take me further also. I says, Krishna, just Krishna, whatever you want, I surrender. And just as soon as I did that, immediately, there's another security person came and he said, hey, why are you troubling him? He says, no, we detected this. Okay, you detected this. And he came, he said, okay, these crutches are openable. It was a simple thing, but when I got panicky, I also forgot. And the crutches are openable. He said, you open the crutches. And they opened the crutches and they found, there's something suspicious looking substance inside it. So then they started putting in their probes and taking it out. And what actually was there, simply some mud was there. When I had gone, before going to America, when I had gone to Vrindavan, the rubber padding that was there below my crutches, that had come out. And because of that, when the crutch was put on the ground of Vrindavan, some dust had gone inside there. So it was a Vraja Raja, which they considered as an explosive. So then they removed the dust. And I said, are you sure this is all that is there? I said, you can try removing everything. They said, they pulled out. They said, I think there's dust over there. Then they fixed it up and they let me go. So although I missed that flight, somehow after 30 minutes there was another flight. And because it was not I who had been late, the security clearance had caused them late, so they themselves arranged for another flight. So I reached just in time for my program. So that time it just struck me that actually fear is unavoidable. Things can always go wrong. But to the extent we can remember that we are servants of Krishna. Yes, we have to control. I have to get for a program in time. I have to catch a flight. I have to go here. I have to go there. But if we remember that we are servants, then substantially the fear goes down. Because we see what is in our control. And we leave that which is not in our control to Krishna. So when fear accelerates the imagination, at that time, faith is the brake. We have to use faith as the brake. And faith means the faith that Krishna is always in control and Krishna will bring good even out of the bad. So to the extent we can develop this faith, throughout the Bhagavatam if we see, it's all about bad things happening to good people. The whole Bhagavatam is what? Parikshit Maharaj, small infraction, small mistake, big curse. Chitraketu, just a small laugh and a devastating curse. Similarly, we see again and again, Ajamil, just one misdirected glance and a disaster because of that. Bharat Maharaj, just an attempt to save a deer and that led to disaster. So quite often the Bhagavatam talks about whether because of a small mistake or because of no mistake. Big bad things happen to people who are basically good. But the whole Bhagavatam shows how, by taking shelter of the Lord, ultimately good results. Ultimately auspiciousness results. So the bhaya that comes upon us, when we feel that we are unable to control, that can be resolved when we look not just at what is not in our control, but look towards Krishna with the faith that He is in supreme, He is in control. So in the materialistic conception of life, we have only two options. Either things are in my control or things are not in my control. But in the spiritual understanding of life, so things that are not in my control are in Krishna's control. And things that are in my control are also by Krishna's control. If I am able to do something right now, that is by Krishna's mercy. So that way, if we have this understanding, then the krodha also. Basically, anger comes when we have the expectation that we should be able to control and somebody doesn't fall in line. Then anger comes out. But if we understand that Krishna is still in control, then we will channel the power of anger which is there constructively. Because sometimes we have to take disciplinary action against someone who is doing something wrong. But we will do it not in an unregulated, excessive way, but we'll be able to do it in a constructive, positive way. So the purification that is meant to come by the process of bhakti is that we become more and more situated in our role as in our identity, fundamental identity as servants of Krishna. And to the extent we become situated in that, then the raga, bhaya, krodha, the desire, fear, anger, which are the impurities which misdirect our consciousness, will go away. And we will become better and better connected with Krishna, and in that stronger connection with Krishna, even in the here and now, we can experience higher satisfaction. We can experience higher joy. And ultimately, when we attain Krishna, then that time is Param Shanti and Shashvata Sthana. We get the supreme destination and the supreme peace. So I'll summarize. I spoke today about how the process of bhakti purifies us of our contaminations. It's like a fire, dhumaketu, a projectile of fire, which cleanses us of impurities. So we talked about what is impurities in terms of what is it that prevents our mind from focusing on Krishna. That is the desire that I want to be controlled, or fear I'm unable to control, or anger, why can't I control? So I'll destroy that which is out there. So, fear is inevitable in material existence because we have a need to control. At the same time, we have an inability to control. And the need to control comes from our functional identity, which brings with it certain responsibilities to execute which we need control. But in these responsibilities, we often experience our limitedness and we can't control. So at that time, the process of bhakti is not meant to reject our functional identity, but to use our functional identity to realize our fundamental identity. I act as a speaker, not so that I'll speak so well, but so that I can serve Krishna and realize I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a manager, I'm a mother, whatever service I'm doing, I do it in the mood of service to Krishna. So if people who say that the Vedic literature are fatalistic, saying that everything is in the control of God. God is, Krishna is the supreme controller, but He is not the absolute controller. In the sense that, it is not that He has taken away our free will. The Vedic literature is not fatalistic, because that same literature talks about what we are meant to do, and how we are meant to do it. So, to take the metaphor of a car, you know, we can drive the car wherever we want. But Krishna is there next to us in the car, and if we drive where He wants us to drive, He will take us to the supreme destination. So we need to control the car so that we can take it where He wants. So although we are not the supreme controllers, we are meant to have self-control so that we can drive the car. So if we act according to our own desire, we take it to some other destination. If we become paralyzed by fear, we don't move the car itself. If we become angry, then we may cause damage to the car or whatever. But if we can get the conviction that Krishna is our greatest well-wisher, Krishna is the greatest source of peace and satisfaction. Krishna says, if you surrender to me, you will get both shanti and sthana. You will get peace and you will get the supreme destination. So if we can get that conviction, then we will harmonize our desire with Krishna's desire. And when fear comes, when we see that things are going out of control, if you remember that Krishna is still in control and Krishna will bring good even out of the bad, then we will not be overwhelmed by fear, but rather by coming to our position as servants of Krishna, we'll be able to find a way out of that fearful situation. And similarly, the frustration, when it expressed outward as anger, that can also be overcome when we see that, okay, I'm not able to control, but Krishna is still in control. This is a time when I have to renounce control. There are sometimes when we exercise control for our service, and sometimes when things go beyond our control, we have to renounce control. And Krishna will take care of things. So with this mood, when we reinforce our understanding that I am a servant of Krishna, situate ourselves in that role, then that understanding will burn away the impurities within us, by which we will all be able to move steadily towards Krishna. So today is the disappearance of Lochindas Thakur, and he is described in his works, especially in Chaitanya Bhagavat, how there is the ecstasy of surrender to Krishna. Now, bhakti is a relationship of ecstatic asymmetry. You know, normally people want, we want to be equals. No, we want to be subordinate to Krishna. And the devotee who becomes subordinate to Krishna, he describes especially in Chaitanya Mangal how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in ecstasy in the mood of servant of Krishna. And among the different biographies of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mangal is most permeated with the Madhurya Ras. And its description of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited intense emotions of ecstasy. And he also composed many wonderful songs, which Srila Prabhupada, he talked about Vaishnava songs, that they can act as thunderbolts. They're also like a fire, which can destroy the contaminations in our heart. And thus we can surrender more deeply to Krishna by becoming fixed in our position as his servants. So, Srila Lochindas Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande.